the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast, and I'm sitting in here with the Entomology Dream Team again. Y'all know who they are by now, and you don't need any introduction. Angus is sitting over here like Bubba, and I guess I'm Rick today.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
That's what you were told. We've got a lot of great comments on the content we're delivering on the podcast, and hopefully y'all guys are enjoying it. If you are, let us know. We'll keep doing this. If we need to go in a different direction, y'all just give us a shout. But I think the topic for today, and a lot of calls that everybody's been getting, is it's the first week of August, and all this cotton is blooming out the top. So feels like it's a little bit early for cutout. What do you think, Angus?
Well, it definitely does feel like it's a little bit early. Some of this dry land stuff has definitely been moving quick with the lack of rainfall, I guess, unless you happen to catch a pop-up shower. But it brings a good question, because we've had some really, really heavy egg lays in places, you know, on cotton that's note above white flower 4 or 5.
Or two.
Yeah, some of that too. And, you know, what do you do? And I've even heard about a little cotton already being cut loose. So, I mean, it's a good time, especially with the massive egg lay in some areas, you know, just to talk about terminating insecticide sprays.
Well, you know, I was in Tunica yesterday and had to look at a couple rice fields, and we stopped by a cotton field that had some funky stuff going on. And it, just like that, it was blooming out the top, dry land cotton. But I know down here we've got irrigated cotton that's blooming out the top too. So,
yeah.
You mentioned dryland cotton earlier, but I think this really applies to all cotton.
So moving forward at this point in the season, I think it's a good time to talk about when we need to terminate and possibly saving some costs on insecticide applications as we move to the remainder of the season.
Yeah, one thing you got to ask yourself, you got to look at the stage of the plant or stage of the crop and then see what's out there and then say, okay.
What stage of the crop are you talking about, Don?
No, I'm talking about in general. And ask this question, how much am I protecting if I make an application? And am I going to be protecting enough to pay for what I'm going to put out there?
And what stage would that be?
Well, it could be any stage. You have to ask that question at every stage. And particularly, you get into this, you know, cut out or close to, it really becomes important then.
All right, well, we might have a lot of guys listening to this and not necessarily know what cotton is, and we keep throwing out the word cut out. Technically, what is cut out?
It is when the plant starts mature the fruit and quits growing.
And we typically call cut out when we reach note above white flower 5. So that first position white flower, how many nodes are above it? When it's 5, we call that cutout. And then we have our termination rules on insecticides on how many DD60s we accumulate after that point, and that's when we can start making these informed decisions.
Well, I would say we're in the first week of August, and we've got a lot of DD60s left, but it was 65 degrees this morning.
It was. So to give you an example, we terminate a lot of our insecticide sprays somewhere around 300 to 350 DD60s after note above white flower 5. So you got to know when you hit that point to start counting down. And if you take last night, I pulled up a 7-day forecast in Greenwood, Mississippi. So starting today, if you looked at the DD60s that we would accumulate in the next 7 days in Greenwood, Mississippi, just looking at the extended forecast, it would be 160. So if you assume similar weather patterns going forward, say for the next 7 days.
You got 2 weeks.
You got it's roughly about 2 weeks, 14 to 17 days after note above white flower 5, you would essentially be safe from insect pests. We can terminate spraying. And that's important, because we spray a lot of stuff too late sometimes, and it's a waste of money.
All right, there it is, folks, a 5-minute podcast. Quickest you'll ever hear Angus get to the point.
Got to the point really quick. That is unusual, I'll admit.
So an important point to make is, you know, we're saying that we're at cutout, and really there's a lot of cotton that's not at cutout yet. It's approaching cutout, and it's still a good time to start saving money, because the closer that crop gets to cutout, the less impact insects are going to have on yield. So just as an example, when we're going into first bloom, you know, the recommendations that I'll make a lot of times is a heavy shot of Transform mixed with something else, and it's usually those big $15-$20 loads.
The expensive ones.
Yeah, the expensive ones. And as we start getting closer to cutout, you can start cutting some of that back, going with a little cheaper products, lower the rates a little bit. Everything's going to be in the top, close to the top of the plant where those blooms are. They get a little bit easier to control in that late cotton.
So, you know, Jeff mentioned being at the top of the plant and how much that contributes to yield. I talked about this at the short course a little bit last year, but to be mindful of, especially when we get later in the season, where is that damage? Where is it predominantly in the plant? You need to think those money-making bowls are going to be in the middle and the bottom of the plant, that first and second position. So if you start seeing damage on these third position bowls, you need a high contribution of bowl damage to ever cover the cost of an insecticide application, particularly a diamide application. So it's just important to remember where this damage is occurring and to be mindful of that when you're making a recommendation for an insecticide.
So you're saying, Whitney, don't worry about holding the fourth position.
I'm just saying being mindful of where your damage is occurring and how much that's contributing to yield before you spend a lot of money on a diamide application that may be late in the season.
I think what she's saying is it takes a lot more damage to third and fourth position bowls and first and second position bowls to equal the same amount of cotton.
ROI, baby.
That's right.
ROI. Yeah, and it brings it around. So this is the number one question with this big, heavy egg lay. You're sitting there, let's just say, four nodes above white flower, and you get 100% egg lay. And we're getting these pretty common in some places right now. I mean,
all right, what's 100% egg lay?
100% of the plants have eggs on them.
Okay. You always confuse me with that.
At least one egg on every plant.
Yeah, and I mean, if you counted multiple eggs per plant, you might would have 500% egg lay, but I don't really like to talk over 100%. But I mean, this is the question right now. So if we're four nodes above white flower, we've probably got 10 days left that we need to protect this cotton. Am I going to spend, you know, plus application, $20-plus dollars for a diamide, and when I can maybe reduce that egg hatch by just using something like acephate or a pyrethroid for less than half that price? And if I leave a few, that's fine, because those positions in the top of that plant, as Whitney said, are not really contributing to yield to any substantial level. I'm gonna not spend that. I'm gonna save that money and go with something cheaper that's gonna get me by to the end.
Yeah, I mean, when it gets down to the end, just what, like Angus was saying, I mean, you know, that last shot, I'm telling people most of the time, acephate, bifenthrin, at good high rates, wanna go ahead and just clean everything up and set it up for the finish and just be done. At that point, you're not really worried about spider mites as much, because they're not going to hurt yield once you get past that cutout stage as well.
And as the cotton is getting this close, getting to this stage, let's be honest, everybody's tired of spending money.
Absolutely, especially with the cotton market we got now. Now, on the other hand, if you're six nodes above white flower, you got 20-plus days. I mean, that would make sense to put something out there that's got, yes, a long residual. So that's why, you know, we talk about this. It's not a blanket recommendation. It's a field-by-field thing. But keep in mind, when we make these recommendations, we're trying to save the grower absolutely as much money as we can without sustaining damage. And we're confident in these things. I mean, they work.
Yeah, I think, you know, you drive up and down 61 and you see a lot of flowers in the top. A lot.
Yeah. It's just hard to walk away from something like that when you got some of this pressure. So one of the things that we get all the time, all right, yeah, we're there. We're two nodes above white flower, but I had this big egg lay, and you're telling me to let it go. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm telling you to let it go. Well, what if that little worm moves down to those low in the plant where those first, second position money bowls are? Well, our experience is, and I'm not saying you won't ever get a bowl in the bottom of the plant that originates at node above white flower 2, a small larvae, but it's very uncommon for an infestation to start that late in the season and move down into the big bowls. And we just don't see it.
A lot of times those little old bowls in the top of the plant's going to shed them anyway.
That's right.
And it may shed the larvae with it.
Or they sound like rocks going through the chute.
Yeah, that late season, we actually lose a lot of larvae from the fruit shedding off the plant where they're under bloom tags up in the top of the plant, and that fruit sheds, and they end up hitting the ground with the fruit when it sheds.
I mean, in a lot of those situations, that fruit was going to fall off anyway, regardless if there was a worm in it or not.
You know, we talked a lot, or Angus, you talked earlier about DD60s and note above white flower 5 plus 350 DD60s or heat units. And nobody's keeping up with heat units. So one of the things that we've got a big Mid-South project that we're trying to do, and we're really need to expand it a lot, is calibrating or correlating what note above white flower 2, what that would mean in terms of note above white flower 5 plus how many heat units. So as an example, we have done a little bit with that with our plant bug termination work. And it shows that when we get to about note above white flower 3.2, that we've hit note above white flower 5 plus somewhere close to 350 DD60s.
You know what I'm hearing, Angus? I'm hearing we need to get the DOS and 3-inch floppy disk back out and run the Cotman.
Cotman. Yep. Actually, I pitched this whole idea to our new cotton specialist, Brian Paralisi, yesterday for a great master's project.
Well, he's going to be in a little later to do a podcast as well.
Yeah, so. I mean, because Jeff's right. I mean, when we say note above white flower 5, nobody even remembers when they were at note above white flower 5. Then you start telling them to do a DD60 formula, high plus low, you know, divided by 2 or whatever, minus 60. Nobody's doing that stuff. So if we could just say, look, you get the note above white flower 2, you're done. Let it go. I mean, that would mean so much. It's just like a crappy threshold. I hate crappy thresholds. It can be the best threshold in the world, and it worked, but if people don't use it, it's crap. And that's what I feel like sometimes with this note above white flower 5. I think the science is real. It's there, but people are not using it. So if we can make it simple and say, hey, if you're at note above white flower 2, they don't have to know the science behind it, how we got there.
You know, one of the other things with the note above white flower 5 plus heat, however many heat units, is a lot of these varieties now that I've seen, at least in our environment, is you can hit note above white flower 5 or note above white flower 4, put some water on it or get a big rainfall, and it's going to stay there at that note above white flower 4 or 5 for a long time.
You're absolutely right.
So that may not always be 100% accurate, that DD60 count.
But
I think if we can get to the point where we say once you hit note above white flower 2 or 3 or whatever, it'll actually be a little more accurate in a lot of situations, at least in our environment.
Yeah, but Darren Dodds and I used to talk about that all the time. We used to always say, I wish that when they set this cutout years ago that it was like note above white flower 4 instead of 5. It seems like once you hit 4, then it kind of starts going that way, but you're 100% right with 5.
It's kind of like 4 is a point of no return that it can't come back from.
Right, right.
Whitney, even though all this happened but when you were in high school, you can talk about it.
Some of that was before you were in high school.
I lost her at Cot Man.
You did.
Got some Comax.
Well, we used to use Cot Man a lot. And when Brian and I were talking about this project yesterday, I told him, I said, I don't know if you're familiar with this program or not. I said, if you've ever used it, and I don't use it very often for what we're doing, but I think it would really, from a data standpoint, I said, I think you're going to have to probably incorporate Cotman back into this, at least for prediction standpoints. I said, it really works well for that.
Well, he's used to that because he was using a soybean pheno model to do his stuff, and it's pretty much the same. So we drug that out when he was working for me in school, and worked well.
So for the other thing to get there, you got to, you know, we're gonna have to look at multiple varieties, but then how does picks affect that? How does irrigation affect that? And these are things that he and I have been talking about, and I think we're kind of shaping up a really good project that I think in the near future will really help our consultants and growers make those decisions more accurately and save money. It's all about saving money.
Yeah, another idea, and I haven't heard this near about as much in Mississippi as I hear from some of my friends in Louisiana, that, you know, the crop gets finishing this early, folks want to push it, turn the water back on, put some more fertilizer on it, you know, because it's the 1st of August.
I got three calls this week.
I've heard of more train wrecks when people have tried that.
Three calls this week. What if I drop another 50 units of nitrogen on it? You're going to have a switch is what you're going to have.
Well, not only that. I mean, it's this is one that happened either last year or year before, and it started raining. It was one of these wet falls. It started raining, and then it put on a bunch more leaves, and it rotted everything on the bottom that you already had it made, and it turned into a massive train wreck.
Yeah, that's the problem you run into when you do that is if you're going to try to put more fruit on, it's going to take time, and then you're going to end up sacrificing some of the fruit in the bottom of the plant,
which
are those big money bowls, and you can end up, because you went through a dry period where your approach cut out and got a lot of shed, dump water to it or more nitrogen or whatever, that plant's basically like starting over in the top of the plant. You end up with a gap and two different levels of fruit maturity in the plant. That's never a good situation.
And it's just like you said, you sacrifice what's in the bottom, which is worth way more than what you're putting on.
Well, let's kind of recap the bollworm thing. And briefly, Whitney, if you'll comment after we recap bollworm on kind of where we're at on spider mites, because some things have changed from our recommendations on spider mites in the last few years. But so basically what we're saying is these big egg lays on this late on this cotton that is, you know, cutting out, not that we're not concerned about them, but I would not spend a whole bunch of money chasing them with high dollar stuff. If you're right at the end, even though it's a big egg lay, I think we can still manage ourselves through that pretty well with some of the cheaper products and get through because of the fruit in the top of the plant. It doesn't mean you'll get no damage, but it'll be minimal from what I've seen. Cut out note above 350 or note above white flower 5 plus 350 does not mean you can't get damage.
360 earlier.
Do what? 360?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You said 360 earlier. Now you're at 350. You dropped 10.
It's 3 to 350 depending on what state you're in. You're talking about a couple of days either way. But the point of it is that does not mean the fruit – an insect cannot penetrate that fruit. What it means is it's no longer economical to make applications. And this has been studied and studied and studied, and I feel pretty confident with it. But let's just end on spider mites and when we can terminate spider mites.
So at this point, terminating for spider mites, you would terminate it at note above white flower 5 plus at 350 heat units, just like you would any of the other insecticide applications.
So the only thing that I can really think about right now that we're carrying further than that 350 is stink bugs, and we kind of carry them out to 450 because they'll hit a little bit bigger bowls. But
yeah, and that makes sense because they can get through a mature pecan shell.
That's right. Well, hopefully we've cleared up just some of this around insecticide termination.
No, it's still muddy.
Still muddy. Well, call Whitney if you got any questions. What's your phone number, Whitney?
It's everywhere. If you don't know it by now, you don't need to know it.
It is.
And if there's one thing you take away from this conversation, when you call any of us this time of year, the first thing we're going to ask you is what note above white flower are you at? That's so right. If you're going to call, do it while you're in the field or make sure you get that note above white flower count in that field that you're calling about.
All right, y'all. Like everybody said, if you need something, call.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.